praise you to be with you this week. It always is when I'm here. And as I said, I think Sunday, it's sort of like coming home. Over a period of time, you get to know people and feel like that they're part of your family. And it's certainly the way I feel for the church here. And so I appreciate you having me back. It's a real pleasure. Always is. And good to see the changes in the congregation, new faces, and the progress that you're making. Jeremiah here with you, and I know that the future is going to be very, very great for you, and I'm just very happy for you, happy for the things that you're doing, and you're never far from my thoughts. And I've said this before, it doesn't do any good. If you're in Corpus, come see me, but you're not going to. But I've got to go. I'm serious. Glad to have you. You ever down that way? Want to look tonight at this passage from Hebrews 11. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. The individual that we want to talk about tonight is not mentioned in this text. At least he's not mentioned by name, but I think that he is certainly mentioned whenever the Hebrew writer talked about the prophets. Certainly, at least one of the men he had to have had in mind was Jeremiah, who's one of the greatest men of faith that you read about in the Old Testament. One of the major prophets, major in the sense that he even wrote more. The minor prophets wrote less, and that's, as you know, the only distinction between the major and the minor prophets. But Jeremiah's faith is something that needs to be looked at. We need to examine that. And we need to make Jeremiah, as much as we possibly can, the kind of an individual that we want to pattern our lives after and be just exactly like. Jeremiah began to prophesy while he was a young man, according to the first chapter in verse 6. That was in the 13th year of Josiah, and that in itself is a great study. If you ever studied the character and the life of King Josiah, that's a great thing. That was in about 627 B.C. Jeremiah continued his work through all of the Babylonian captivity, and then after that, he was forced to go down into Egypt. So for about 50 years, and that is significant. Generally, dates aren't maybe not all that significant. But as we'll see in just a moment, this is significant. The fact that Jeremiah was a prophet of God for 50 years, five decades, he demonstrated tremendous faith in God. And I think that's why you have the Hebrew writer there alluding to him generally in making mention of the prophet. So let's take a look at Jeremiah and the great faith that he demonstrated during the 50 years that he worked for God. I don't envy Jeremiah when God came to him and said, "See, I have set this day you over the kingdoms, the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build and to plant." If you take a look at that, Jeremiah's message was primarily negative. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down. For 50 years, Jeremiah had to stand before the people and bring a message that they did not want to hear. It was one of almost total negativity. Jeremiah's response to this in chapter 15, your words were found, and I ate them figuratively. In other words, God told him what to say, and God's words became a part of Jeremiah. I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Really? Jeremiah said, for 50 years, I was alone. And that's not figured. For most of that time, Jeremiah was all by himself. He was the one single voice crying out this negative message. And he says, you have filled me with indignation. That doesn't mean, as we'll see, Jeremiah did have some rather strong emotions over this 50-year period. But filled me with indignation, as much as anything, talks about the reaction of the people to his message. They were indignant about this negative message. You can just see it. Jeremiah, a year or two into his ministry, negative, negative, negative. And people are saying, here comes Jeremiah again. And I know what he's going to say. It's going to be negative. 5 years, 10, 15, 20, 30, 50 years. When Jeremiah came to town, the people knew, probably, it was going to be negative. What would you think if I had started this meeting on Sunday, negative Bible class, negative Sunday morning, negative Sunday night, negative Monday, negative Tuesday, negative Wednesday, negative Thursday? By last night, would you have been tired of that? People, as a general rule, don't like negativity. They want something positive. This, by the way, does not mean that my preaching today or anyone's preaching today needs to be primarily negative. But at this time, these people, the circumstances, demanded a negative message. When negativity is demanded, we need to be negative. When that which is positive needs to be stressed, then we need to be positive. But it so happened here that Jeremiah was saddled with the responsibility of being negative for 50 years. And he said that you have filled me with indignation. The people's response to him was one of, they were indignant over his message. What kind of treatment this great man of God, this great man of faith, for 50 years, when he preached this negative message, how did the people react to him? Well, to say that he was mistreated would be understating it quite a bit. Take a look at the way Jeremiah was treated for half a century. I am in derision, David. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. I know everybody's different, but one of the things that will get my ire up quicker than anything is when I'm talking to someone and I'm trying to talk to them seriously. I'm trying to give them a very serious lesson. And someone looks at me and just grins it off or laughs. Just, come on. It is, and I don't like that. I think a lot of us don't. 50 years. 50 years. On and off, Jeremiah was laughed at. They didn't take him seriously. Probably thought he was a nutcase. And they laughed at him because of the nature of his message. Jeremiah was mistreated by being plotted against. People were out for him. Everywhere he went. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. And I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. I don't know how I would take this if I was in a place for a week and I knew that every time I got up to preach, when I left the building that night, my life was in danger. There were people waiting for me in the parking lot. They were waiting for me when I got back to where I was staying. All that week. That's what I had to look forward to. Jeremiah had this for half a century, 50 years. He constantly lived with plots against his life. Then they said, come and let us devise plans against Jeremiah. For the law will not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. In other words, this guy does not know what he's talking about. He's a fool. Come, let us attack him with the tongue. Now, to attack with the tongue here just means that we're going to respond to you. Everything that you say is going to be a rebuttal on our part. And let us not give heed to any of his words. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have dug a pit to take me and hidden snares for my feet. I have a friend, I don't know if anyone here knows him, but one of the finest men I know, I have so much respect for him, a guy named Daryl Emel. And Daryl preaches in China. Preaches over there several months out of the year. And to listen to him report, he comes to Corpus once a year to report, it's almost like listening to the plot of a James Bond movie. He takes his life in his hands every single time he goes to China. Running down alleys, trying to shake the tail of the Chinese police. They're out to get him. Every single time. And Daryl's lucky. He hadn't been at it full time for 50 years over there. He just goes back and forth every once in a while. But Jeremiah had these plots for 50 years. His family was against him. Or even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, that is, your family. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I think I could take a lot of things. But if I thought that my children were against you, that if a spouse was against you, if your brothers and sisters, your blood relatives, the people that you expect to stand by you through everything, I can count on them, not Jeremiah. Not only his acquaintances among the Jewish people he could not count on, he couldn't count on even his own family. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. Lovely day. Isn't it great? After you've got through talking to people about God's message, here's what God's will is. Here's what you can do to save yourself from Babylonian captivity. They show their gratitude by taking you and putting you in a dungeon where there's a mud pit, and they lower you down. I don't know how far they put him. And I don't know how long they kept him. Knowing these people, I would imagine they put him as far down in the mud pit as they could to make him as uncomfortable as they could, and left him there until he reached the breaking point. And obviously he never reached that breaking point. They put him in stocks from time to time. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which is by the house of the Lord. We've seen the drawings, the artist's renderings of people back in colonial period that were placed in stocks. Again, it's not beyond reason to think that they made the stocks just as uncomfortable and will put Jeremiah in bodily positions that would give him as much pain and agony and discomfort as they possibly could, and would leave him there for as long as they possibly could. They cut him no slack, whether in the mud pit or placing him in stocks. Put him in prison. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe. For they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah remained there many days. I went to prison about 6 weeks ago. For the first time in my life, I went to prison. I was in a meeting in Yokum, Texas. There's a state prison in Cuero, Texas, and the preacher there in Yokum goes over to teach a Bible class on Wednesday and Sunday, and I went with him. And there's a, by the way, this is getting off the subject, there's a local church in that prison. About 16 men convicted of all sorts of things. They formed a local church there, and they're doing what they can to be what they need to be. Prison's been fun. And that prison that I was in those 2 days was kindergarten compared probably to this. Prison, stocks, mud pit, you name it. Nothing was too bad for them to subject Jeremiah to. One of these days when you're feeling sorry for yourself and you feel like, oh, woe is me, I've had a bad day. The brethren had just, they've been so over. While one of them came out and didn't like the fact that I preached 5 minutes overtime. What am I going to do? They don't like this. They're carping about that. They're picking at me about it. Whether you're a preacher, an elder, Bible class teacher, whenever you really get down, remember Jeremiah. For 50 years, hated by his relatives, put in stock, put in the dungeon, put in prison, put in the mud pit, laughed at 50 years. And all through this, this great man of faith reacted as I would react, as you would react. You treat me that way for, it wouldn't have to be 50 years. You treat me that way for a month, for a year, and I'm going to react to that. And Jeremiah reacted to it. So not only are we told in Jeremiah what it was that Jeremiah was subjected to for 50 years, now we're going to look at what this hero of faith, what this godly man did when he was subjected to that sort of treatment. Let's take a look. Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, for as the sword reaches to the heart." Jeremiah said, "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail?" And remember, Jeremiah talking to God. "Oh, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people. God, you said one thing, and that's not the way it is." That's Jeremiah talking to God. Jeremiah said, "Are you going to be like an unreliable stream? A stream that maybe gets water and maybe it doesn't. You just never know." Oh. Great man of faith. And when he talks to God, he said, "I don't know that I can depend on you. I've really got some problems with you." That's Jeremiah. statements by Jeremiah. Cursed be the day in which I was born. Let the day not be blessed in which my mother bore me. Let the man be cursed who brought the news to my father, saying, a male child has been born to you, making him very glad. And let that man be like the cities which the Lord overthrew and did not relent. Let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noon. Because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb always enlarged with me. Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame? You know what Jeremiah's saying here? He's saying, I wish someone would have aborted me. Because he did not kill me from the womb, that my mother might have been my grave. Jeremiah said, it is better if I had never been born. If someone, and the man who brought the news to my father saying, you've got a male child, cursed be that guy. They should have killed him in the womb rather than come out and let me be exposed to what I've been going through. Jeremiah regretted he'd ever been born. That's the man of great faith. Chapter 6 and verse 10, he was skeptical. Hey, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. What good is it going to do to preach? It's as pessimistic as anybody could possibly be. Does Jeremiah's faith get stronger and stronger in your eyes? No. Chapter 9, verse 2, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Jeremiah, who had been commissioned by God back in chapter 1 and verse 10, said, I quit. I don't want any more of this. I've been at it now for 50, or however long it was at this time. I've been at it for 10, 15, 20, whatever. 30. Let me out. Let me go to the wilderness, away from these people. I just don't want to do it anymore. Let me ask you a question, and no hands. Have you ever in your life faced something that was so horrific that you did what Jeremiah did and questioned God? And maybe you cried out in the presence, but maybe just in private and said, God, why in the world? Why did you let this happen? Have you felt that way? Have things ever gotten so bad in your life that you said, what's the good of life? I had never been born. I just can't take this anymore. Ever reached a point in your life sometimes you were so skeptical, you thought, it doesn't do any good to teach me, it doesn't do any good to live the way I'm living. What's the use of doing anything? Have you ever in your life just wanted to stop? Quit. I want to serve God. What does it do? What's the point? Look at what's happening to me. I'll lay it all down and I'll walk off. Maybe not all of these things. But at some time in their life, they think one of these things. You say, yeah, I can relate to it. It may be a personal illness, an illness in somebody else's life that you're close to. It may be a death. It could be problems in a church. It could be so many things. And you feel like Jeremiah. You look at this and say, yeah, I can relate to Jeremiah. I know exactly how to do. But there's another side of Jeremiah. And the story of Jeremiah is not complete without looking at this side of it. When Jeremiah had problems, he did and he said what we find in chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? When Jeremiah had all these problems, all these questions, all of these things that were just consuming him, what did he do? He talked to God. That was when he was in the assembly of the Jews. They called him to lead the closing prayer. Or the opening prayer. Or did Jeremiah go somewhere private where there was nobody around and he just poured out his heart to God? We talked about this the other night. Just talk to God. You got a complaint about God? Okay. Talk to him about it. We tell people all the time, you got a complaint against me, you come to me. Talk to me, don't talk to somebody else. Okay. You have a complaint against God? That's fine. You don't understand why God is allowing or not allowing certain things to happen? Okay. You ever talk to him about it? You ever just sat down somewhere and said, okay, God, I had no idea what's going on. I don't know. I need some answers. I need you to help me. He wanted to quit, but notice what he said here in chapter 20. Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. This is when he was called to be a prophet. You were stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out, I shouted violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach, and derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. This is where he wanted to quit. But, and here is one of the biggest words in the English language. Three letters. But, his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not quit. Understood. He wanted to stop. But he said there was something inside of him. God's word was inside of him, burning. And Jeremiah simply could not bring himself to do what he really wanted to do and just walk away from the entire situation. All during his 50 years, with all of his questions, with all of his problems, with all of his mistreatment, look what Jeremiah said to God. Inasmuch as there is none like you, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might, who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For this is your rightful due. For among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, the everlasting King. And his wrath, the earth will tremble, and the nations will not be able to abide his indignation. Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the end of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. The Lord is with me like a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Jeremiah questioned God? Yep. He had problems with God? Yep. But all the time that he had the questions, all the time that he had the problems, Jeremiah kept on praising God. Do men and women of great faith ever have problems? Do they ever question God? Do they ever want to quit? Do they ever just say, I can't take this anymore because, God, I don't understand what you're doing? Over the last few years, there's one particular song that has come to me in the walk with me. And I look at it quite frequently, and I reference it quite frequently when I talk to people. And especially when people are going through things in their life that they're just about ready to quit. And they don't understand God, and they just want to walk away and quit serving God. The 73rd Psalm. Make a note of the 73rd Psalm and lean upon it. We're not going to look at all of it right now, but portions of it. If David wrote this, I don't know if it's David or not, probably so. Let's just say that David wrote it. Here's a man after God's own heart. I want you to notice the language of David in this 73rd Psalm. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. You know what that's saying? I nearly turned my back on you, God. I nearly became an apostate. I nearly threw it all in. David said that? Yeah. David said that. David was on this slippery slope and he nearly lost it all. That's right. According to this. Now, what was it that caused David to nearly fall away from the Lord? For I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. You know what David is saying? David said, when I see bad things happening to good people, that's when I nearly lost it. That's nearly when I just walked away from you, God, and said, I don't know what to do with you. If I were an atheist and I wanted the very best argument that there is no God, this is the argument that I would use. Not that it's valid, it's not. And there's a way to respond to this, but it's emotional. It tugs at our heartstrings. Whenever you see horrible things happening to good people, I told people over the last year, going through cancer treatment in Indiana, I said, you ever get to feeling sorry for yourself? I said, I will take you, Indiana. Let me show you around. Let me show you. Little kids, 5 years old, slick head, just chemo radiation. 16-year-old girl came in one day while I was up there for tests and had no leg from here down. Just a prosthetic. I don't understand that. Young husbands being taken from their wife to death, vice versa. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling and my steps almost slipped. David felt that way, I think. Some of you probably have. I'm sure have. Keep reading. David said, I really lost it when I saw bad things happening to good people. If I said, verse 15, if I said I will speak thus, that is, if I talk like I'm about to lose it, I'm going to fall away from God. If I said I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until, now get that word, I nearly lost it. And I got to thinking about all of this. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived therein. The reason why some of us come real close to losing our foothold and falling away from God when we see these bad things happening to good people, or we experience the things that happened to Jeremiah for 50 years, we've never gone into the sanctuary of God, figuratively speaking. We've never taken our Bibles down and said, okay, God, I know you've addressed this, so let me read. Let me look at it. Let me read through the prophets. Let me read about prophets who had this problem. Let me read about David who had this problem. Let me read about others who had problems like this. How did they react? How did they respond? What did they do? What did you say to them? What kind of hope can you give me, Lord, to escape all of this? David said, all of this was troublesome until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then he said, I perceived that and I understood some things. And then he said, whom have I in heaven but you? Now this psalm starts out with, my feet almost slipped. I nearly fell away. But when he went into the sanctuary of God, here's what he said. When he came out of the sanctuary, so to speak, he said, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. David started out, he nearly fell off the cliff. But he went to God's sanctuary and he said, let me look at this again. And when he got through looking at God by going to the sanctuary, he said, who do I have but you? Who can I trust? Who can I rely on but you? You're the greatest thing I could ever have. Do I understand everything? Are all of my questions answered? No. Are all of my problems solved? No. But the greatest thing David had was his relationship with God. Now, I can identify with Jeremiah in some of those things we looked at a moment ago. I sure can. I won't quit. No. Almost all of those. But now, can you identify with Jeremiah in these things? Brought his complaint to God, refused to quit, and he praised God. And we could have put down here Psalm 73, David going into the sanctuary of God. This is what made Jeremiah a man of great faith. Let me encourage you. If you haven't been there yet, you're going to be where Jeremiah was. And you're going to be where David was. And there are going to be some horrific things happening in your life. Don't give up. Don't turn your back on God. He's all that you've got. God does things for reasons we do not understand. Some of these days, maybe we will, but right now we may not understand it all. But men like Jeremiah, men of great faith, did not quit. David did not quit. Let me urge you, Go back to the book of Jeremiah and read about this great man of faith. Emulate his faith. Bring your complaint to God. Don't give up. Don't quit. Praise God daily and walk by faith so that heaven might someday be your home. If tonight you need to become a man or a woman of faith, putting your faith and trust in God, by obeying His will, being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and start that life, there is no other, in which you will be disappointed. Emulate Jeremiah, emulate David. In eternity, when you die, it'll all be worth it. Let's stand and sing.